Philippians 4, 8 through 13, who in here would say that Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year? By the showing of hands. Would you say, I mean, that's what we've been taught, by the way. Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. It's what we've been taught. Now, you may like spring, you may like fall, you may like summer, you may like winter, but Christmas is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year. But I guarantee you right now, if I went around this room, Brother Garrett, you done admitted it right here. You wrote the song, but school was being chaotic, okay? And it was chaotic during this wonderful time of the year. If I went around this room and I asked every individual, has it been the most wonderful time of the year? Has it really been right now the most wonderful time of the year? I would almost say that every individual would say, Preacher, I'm trying my best to make it the most wonderful time of the year. Preacher, I'm doing my best to put my best foot forward this time of the year. Preacher, I'm doing my best to keep a smile on my face this time of year. Preacher, I'm trying with all I got to make this the most wonderful time of the year. And I say to you tonight, what makes it not the most wonderful time of year is stress. I want to preach a title, We Must Be Satisfied, Not Stressed. We must be satisfied this time of year and not stressed. This morning we get up and we're getting ready for church, and Brandy sees a little old gift on the line. She's done told me we've done bought all we're going to buy this year, and I agree with her. That's all we're going to buy. And she said, but we need to buy this. And I said, I thought we done draw the line in the sand. It was over. We weren't going to buy nothing else. Yeah, but he sure would love it. I said, no, we ain't buying that. It's over. Why? Because we want to bless. We want it bigger. We want bigger. We want bigger. We want better. We want bigger. We want better. We want our kids to have the best. We want our family to have the best. Why? Because we want to be a blessing to them. But this Christmas season is not about gifts. It's about the giver, Jesus Christ. Never let your gift get ahead of your giver. Never let your salvation get more important in your life than your Savior. Listen to me very carefully. Don't take that out of context. Please don't. Never let the gift get bigger than the giver. Jesus Christ is the giver. He came wrapped, as we've just done sung, as a babe in a manger. He went to the cross for our sin. That we have no reason to be stressed this Christmas season. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 8. If you have a copy of God's Word, I do ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. And here's what Paul told the church at Philippi when he comes here at the end of Philippians. He says this, finally, brethren, I won't see you again. I won't see you again unless the Lord will till Wednesday night. Some of you don't going to have Christmas, but if the Lord will, we'll meet back then. But he says, finally, brethren. And you say, Preacher, how am I going to get through Christmas? I've lost loved ones. This is the first year. So-and-so won't be at the table. Here's what you're going to have to do. There's some things you're going to have to think on. You're going to get that old stuff off of you and think about what God has done in your life, how he's blessed you with the memories that you got. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let us pray. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you tonight. Lord, I thank you for the songs that were sung tonight. I thank you tonight, Father God, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, I praise you tonight for this crowd that come back tonight. I praise you for the ones that didn't come back tonight, Father, for whatever reason. I pray you bless them as well, Father. Lord, I pray tonight that you move in a mighty way. Lord, I pray tonight that whoever's in here tonight that needs a touch from you, maybe their stress slap out. Lord God, I pray tonight, Father God, that for the next few days you remove that stress from them and they rely on the Savior tonight, Father God. They rely on you and what you can do, Father. Father, I just praise you and I glorify you. I ask it in no other name. I ask you to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. It's in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight, as we come to hear in the book of Philippians, I want to say that the Word of God teaches us, as you read the Word of God, that Christmas, or what we call Christmas, is the most wonderful time of year. It's the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's when we celebrate His birth. It's when we remember His birth. And I believe somebody said this morning, without His birth, there'd be no cross. Without His virgin birth, there'd be no cross. There'd be no forgiveness for sin without His birth. But this time of year, but if we're not careful, we could quickly say Christmas is the most stressful time of the year. And I wrote this down. Why would we say that Christmas would be the most stressful time of year? Oh, why would that even come to your mind? Why would that? To kids, it ain't stressful. Man, they're out of school for a couple weeks. They're going to get presents. They're going to have a good time. It ain't stressful to the kids. So why is it stressful to us adults? I wrote down a few things. Number one is we overcommit. We overcommit to things this time of year. Our schedules are completely packed out. We got all kind of get-togethers to go through. We got things to do. Number one, we overcommit. Number two, we put ourselves in stressful situations. And you say, preacher, how do you do that? Number one, by overspending, by over-allotting time, not having enough time to fulfill everything that we put on the list. Number three, multitasking. You're trying to do too much, and it gets you stressed. It gets you overwhelmed. It gets you stressed out, if you will. We grow weary in the work of the Lord this time of year, if you're not careful. Galatians 6:9 said, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So how can we make every day a wonderful day? How can we make this a wonderful time of year? I see a few things in the text. Number one, in verse number 8, we must consider our condition. The condition that we're in, we must consider it tonight. We must not get overwhelmed with the things of this world. We must not get overwhelmed with TV and things that are going on. We must line up with the Word of God. You say, preacher, how can I do that? Number one is we consider our condition. Or whatever condition you're in, if you'll think on these things, it'll bring virtue and it'll bring praise to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says here, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. This Christmas season, you're going to have to think on the things that are true, that you know in your life. The things that you know that are true, not things that are painted up, made up, but things that are true. You get caught up in a Hallmark movie and you'll watch that Hallmark movie and that home is just nice and the tree's beautiful and man, the table's set very beautiful and everything is prestige. Everything is up to par. Everybody's dressed in their best and everybody's acting right and nobody's having a come apart and everybody's family's perfect. Hey, that's a lie, amen. Hey, Hallmark can paint that up, but you can't paint that up on Mills Hill. You say, preacher, why is that? Because that's not real. That's not true. That's not true life. It's not true. It's not true. It's a Hallmark movie. It's not true. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to think on the things that are true in life. Be thankful for who's at your table. Be thankful who's going to be there this year. Be thankful what's going to come your way. Be thankful there this year. Look what he said. He said, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest or vulnerable or what you need in your life, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. He said, I want you to think on these things. He said, preacher, it's hard to think on these things this time of year. It sure is, because it's busy. There's chaos all around us. There's chaos on every corner. Everywhere you turn, you hear the noise of the world that we live in. Man, I'm telling you what, it's on every corner that you turn to this time of year. And all of a sudden, December the 26th, it'll be like you cut the switch off and all the chaos and all the calamity and everything you got going on is going to quieten down. And then you're going to miss Christmas. You're going to miss the most wonderful time of year, because that's Satan's plan, that's Satan's plot, and that's what he wants you to do. Because instead of thinking on Jesus and what is true and what is real this time of year, he wants you to paint up Santa Claus. He wants you to paint up all these things and get you distracted from the true meaning of Christmas, which is the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he said, what is that? Consider the condition that you're in right now. Right now, I want you to take a self-evaluation tonight. Consider your condition right now and what you're in. You say, preacher, I'm in a bad condition, or our family's in a good condition. But you consider that condition that you're in, and no matter how bad it is, there's something there you can be thankful for. Number one, I'm thankful tonight that you're here. And you can be thankful you're here tonight. I tell the guys all the time at Broken Lives, Broken Lives is not a good place to be, but it's better than any funeral home that I know of. It's better than any county jail that I know of. So tonight, being here is not the best place you can be, but it's better than some places. Amen? So tonight, you've got to consider your condition and the condition that you're in. And you got to think on these things. And to think on these things, look with me in verse number 9. You say, preacher, how am I going to think on these things? He says, those things which you have both learned and that you have received. You're going to have to think about the things that you've learned in your life over the years. You've got to think about it. Think about the Word of God, what you've learned, what you received, and what you have heard. Man, I'm telling you what, tonight, when you get to this Christmas season, you remember the good things. You remember the good times. You remember the times that you have in your life. Brother Garrett was saying it tonight. I can only think about recently, Brother Johnny, that has went on to be with the Lord for eternity, like you just said. I think about that. I think about the good times that you have. Man, that popped in my mind sitting over there. That wasn't even my daddy. That wasn't even my papa, but he was one of my brothers in Christ. And it popped in my mind. He's not going to be there this Christmas. He's not going to be around your table this Christmas. But you don't have to let doubt and despair pull up to your table. You don't have to let depression pull up to your table. What can you let pull up to your table? Them good times, the things that was true, the things that were honest, the things that were of a good report, them good things you can pull up to that table. And you can reminisce and talk about it. Consider your condition tonight. But I see something else. Not only consider our condition in the text. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, consider that condition tonight. Consider where you're at tonight. Are you satisfied or are you stressed? Consider that tonight. Where would you be at tonight if tonight was Christmas? Where would you be at tonight? Would you be satisfied or would you be stressed, slap out? Consider your condition. Number two, be content with the outcome. Be content with the outcome. You say, what does that mean, preacher? This is not Bible, but this is true. This is not Bible, but this is true. Have you ever gave your kid a gift? You worked hand and foot. You done all you can do. You wrapped the gift. It was beautiful. The bow, your wife put the bow on it. You thought, they're going to love this. They're going to fall in love with this. You wrap that gift and it's perfect. And you as a parent, you can't wait for them to open that gift. And you give it to them, and they get it in their lap, and they open it up, and you're on the edge of your seat, and you're like, man, they're going to love this. And when they open it up, like you let air out of a balloon, they're like, wow, that ain't what I wanted. That ain't what I... How does that make you feel? Wow, makes me feel not good neither. I'm telling you, this Christmas season, we have nothing to stress about. We ought to be satisfied. He has gave us the greatest gift there is, and that is salvation, so full and so free. Man, I'm telling you what, if you've got nothing to think about this Christmas positive, think about your salvation. Think about what He has saved you from. Think about what He's delivered you from. Think about what He has gifted you, what He has done in your life. Consider your condition, but also be thankful for that outcome. Man, be thankful for what He's done in your life. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm thankful for that. I told them guys the other night at rehab when we was over there, I said, listen, I know Thanksgiving and Christmas is the worstest time to be in a rehab program, but don't you leave this program. Don't you give up. Don't you give in. You stay with it. You stick with it. You think about the good things. You think about what God's blessed you with. You think about what God's done in your life. You said, preacher, why is that? Let me show you this in the text. Not only do we consider our condition, man, where we're at in this life, but to be content with the outcome. Be content with it. Look in verse number 10. How can I be content? Number one, you can rejoice. You can rejoice. It don't have to be doom and gloom. Here's what he said. What you've seen in me, the peace shall be with you. He said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. So how do I be content with my outcome? I must rejoice in the Lord no matter what the outcome is. No matter what I face this Christmas season or this new year coming up, I must rejoice in the Lord. And then number two, I must respect what the Lord sends my way. Not only do I rejoice, but I must respect what comes my way. Look what he says in verse number, number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. He said, man, listen, I know. Man, you may come in here tonight and you say, preacher, my condition is not good. But can I say to this, if you're a child of God, your outcome is going to be good. Rejected. You're not rejected. You should rejoice in the Lord. Respect what He gives you no matter the outcome. Speaking of want, but also we must remember to be content this season with what He's given us. I say this all the time. If you are not happy with what God's gifted you with now, if He doubled it, you still wouldn't be happy because you're unhappy with the gift. Let me give you this. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5 tonight. I want to share this with you. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5 tonight. I want you to see this. Hebrews chapter number 13 and verse number 5 tonight. I see the consider our condition. to be content with the outcome. Whatever you got coming your way this Christmas season, whatever you have to face, wherever you have to go, consider your condition and be content with the outcome. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. Let's go back to verse number 1. Let's just cover all the way down. It says, let brotherly love continue. You won't love one another unless you let love continue. You notice he put it in our court, let love. Let love, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember, here we go. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Look in verse 5. Here's where I was wanting to go. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know why he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee? He knows it's not good for man to be alone. The first thing our Lord, the first thing God said that was wrong was in the book of Genesis when he said it's not good. The first thing he said was not good is when he made man. He made man. He had him tilling the ground. He had him naming the animals. He had him out there and he looked around. And he said it's not good that man be alone. So what did he do? He made woman. He knew it wasn't good for man to be alone. He knows it's not good this time of year for you to be alone and isolate out and get by yourself and say, if I can just make it through. We shouldn't try to make it through. Man, we should not even try to get through. We should allow the Lord to lead us through. Amen. Look what he says. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I see in the text, we consider our condition. Be content with the outcome. And continue with Christ in closing. We must continue with Christ. Don't quit. Don't give in. Stay the course. Continue with Christ. Listen to me tonight. No matter what condition you're in, the outcome, if you're with Christ, is going to be right. The outcome with Christ is going to be right. Now, I can't promise you that with the devil. It'll be right sometimes with him because he's wanting you to follow him. He's not going to always beat you to death with it. He's going to make it sweet sometimes. That's not who we're following tonight. Listen to this tonight. Look what he says in verse 13 of Philippians 4 and verse number 13. Paul said, if you want to be satisfied and not stressed, number one, consider your condition, what you're in right now. Be content with the outcome. Give it to the Lord and continue with Christ. Look what he says. He says, I'm not giving up. Here's what he said in Philippians 4, 13. He says, I can do all things. Boy, ain't that good. He said, I can do all things. If you stopped right there, you'd almost think he was arrogant. If you stopped right there, you'd think, man, that man ain't humble at all. Man, that man ain't got a bit of, he's prideful. But ain't you thankful that it don't stop there? You know what everybody in this room's mindset ought to be? Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Why, preacher? I want you to turn a few places with me. Number one is because he's my strength supply. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Number one, he's my strength supply. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans 8 and verse number 31. He is my strength supply tonight. He's the one that supplies the strength even when I'm weary. He's the one that supplies the strength even when I don't know what to do. Why? Because tonight I continue with him. No matter my condition, no matter the outcome, I'm going to stick with Christ, and you are too. And you are too. You're going to stick with him. I'm tired of losing folks. Hello? I'm tired of losing folk. Ain't you? It's Christmas. I'm tired of losing folk. You're going to stick with him. We're going to draw a line in the sand around here. Go quit losing folk. Go quit it. Why? All of us don't always in a good condition. All of us don't always get the good outcome, but we're all with Christ. We're on the same team. And here's what he said. He said, man, I don't know where that come from. That come up from the well, amen? If it's in the well, it'll come out in the pail. Continue with Christ. Strength supply. Romans 8:31. Here's what he said. What shall we say then to these things? What do we say to these things? Paul said, I'm going to do with Christ. I'm going to run with Christ. What am I going to say about it? Look what he said here. If God be for us, who can be against us? Man, you talking about putting somebody on your side. If God, listen. It's good that Brother Tony may be on my side. It's good that Brother Eric may be on my side. It's good that Brother Jackie may be on my side or Brother Travis. That's good. Man, you talking about the God of the universe? If God's on my side, somebody talk to me tonight. If God's on my side, man, you talking about mountains that can move. He said, if you'll say to that mountain, move, it'll move. In the name of Jesus. If you got that much faith, how much faith I take it? Don't take much. He's my strength supply tonight. Can I say I can do all things through Christ? Because he's my source tonight. Not only is he my strength, but he's my source. Turn with me to John 8 and verse 31 tonight. John 8 and verse 31. I want to show you this tonight. He's not only my strength, but he's my source tonight. John 8 and 31. Look at this tonight. John 8 and 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue, here's the source. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. You're talking about going to set a man free. If you think on the truth and you know the truth, you know what the truth will do? Who says that? The truth shall set you free. Just as Ryder Mills did not want to tell the truth, I started you off with that. I started you off with that probably 75 to 80 pound weight on the front porch that he threw off and busted Mama's light. And he thought Mama's going to wear him out. And I was hoping she would. Amen? Don't you, can you not, just, I cannot stand when she says whoop him. I ain't even in a whooping mood. Wait till your daddy gets home. I ain't even in a whooping mood. I got to get in a whooping mood to whoop. I don't know no daddy just whoops. They got to get in a whooping mood to whoop. He walk in, hey, how your day been? Whoop him. What? Whoop him. What's he done? It don't matter what he's done. He needs it. Well, you just don't walk in ready to whoop. You got to get in a whooping mood. Does everybody understand that? And just as little Ryder, listen to me, as he lied to his mama, everybody there knew he lied. He's born a liar. Every kid in here is a liar. They're born a liar. It's our nature. We were born in sin. Until you come to the age of accountability, you're under the grace of God. But listen, when you come to the age of, I mean, you don't have to tell a kid a lie. Adults a lie. You get in a big enough crack, you'll lie. Well, you didn't like that. You didn't like that. Why'd he lie, Brother Kevin? Because he's afraid he's fixing to get his tail whooped. I hope I can use that word in here. He fixing to get his tail whooped. But a sissy run to his rescue. Grace run to his rescue. Grace. How does she know to show him grace so he wouldn't get a whooping this lady? How did she know? Because she's learned in her life. She's thought on these things. She's learned. She's heard. If you'll tell mom and daddy the truth, you might not get a whooping. But you will get a whooping for lying. She runs out there and says, just tell her the truth. Tell her the truth. He said, I threw it. What'd he get? Nothing. She made him go pick it up and bring it back. Jesus said, if you'll continue in my word, continue in what, Sister Patsy? Continue in the truth. If you'll continue in the truth shall set you free. Let me move on here tonight. I see that not only that he is my strength and he is my source, but in the scriptures supplies what I need as well. Look with me, if you will, to Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 31. Acts chapter number 8 and verse number 31. Ain't it amazing you don't have to teach them to lie? It just blows my mind. Kaylee must have been more secretive with hers. Son, he'll just tell something. Even his daddy won't believe it. And I believe a lot of things. Acts 8, 31. Acts 8, 31. Look what he said here. What shall we, Acts 8, 31. Let me get to Acts. I'm in Romans. I need to get to Acts. Acts 8, 31. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him in the place of the scripture which he read. What did he read? What did he read? He read Jesus. He read Jesus. He read Jesus. Folks, tonight I want to leave you with this. In Joshua 24, if you'll turn with me there, I want to close out here tonight. Joshua chapter number 24. I know we're going back to the Old Testament, but Joshua chapter number 24. Hey, Bible's Bible, amen? It don't matter if it's the maps, the concordance. It don't matter if it's old or new. It's all the same. It's all good. Joshua 24 and verse number 15. To be satisfied and not stressed. What stresses you this time of year is you're trying to live like the world instead of living like God called you to live. That's what stresses you. When it all boils down to it, you try to live like the world for a little while. We're not of the world. We may live in it, but we're not of it. We must consider our condition. We must be content with the outcome, and we must continue with Christ. And nobody's ever said it plainer than Joshua. Joshua laid it out there. He even told the people, you can't follow this God. He said, you can't follow this God. You don't want what this God's got. You don't want to do what it takes. Can I say to you, I thank God there's folks around here that wants this God. True Savior. Who said in Joshua 24:15, he said, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the God of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. To serve the Lord is nothing to be stressed about. You consider your condition, be content with the outcome, and continue with Christ. I heard Adrian Rogers tell this, and I'll close with this. I heard Adrian Rogers tell this. Nothing fits better. Nothing fits better than being satisfied. Said an Indian chief got born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. Didn't have a Bible, didn't know nothing. He's like Brother James Lowe. All he knows is something happened. Brother James Lowe said, I don't know. I went to the altar, asked the Lord to come into my heart, and something happened. I don't understand salvation. I'm your pastor, and I don't understand it. I don't understand salvation. Been saved for 18 years, and I don't understand it. I don't. I can read it to you. I can tell you about it. I can show you how to be saved. But I don't understand how he can take somebody so filthy and so unclean, wash him and clean him up and make him new. I can't understand that. I can't understand how he'll take that old filth away. I can't understand it by a simple having faith in Jesus Christ, how he can change a man's life. I don't understand that. But I know the condition that I was in. And I know the outcome now. And I'm going to keep following him. There's nothing to go back to. He's changed me. He's cleansed me. He told this story about an Indian chief that didn't know nothing, but he got on fire for God. And everybody in his tribe wanted to know what happened. As people in your tribe want to know what happened to you. She said, well, ain't nobody thought nothing about it or nothing. Might not have been much of a change. Boys, when he changes you, he changes you. You're satisfied in what he's done in your life. See, that Indian didn't know no way to describe it, but one way he had heard the preacher preach about a worm. And said he got his whole tribe there together. Adrian Rogers said, there's a story he told, said he got it all together and got them around there. He took a bunch of leaves. And he found him a worm, and he took that worm, he laid it right in the middle of them leaves, and he set them leaves on fire. And them leaves was burning, getting hot. I'm talking about scalding hot. Y'all know what scalding hot is? I mean scalding hot. And it was just about to burn down to where that worm was, and it done got shrunk down, and that worm just going crazy in there. And right before that fire got to where that worm was, that big old Indian's hand reached down there and grabbed that worm. And he poured it up and he said, me was worm. Me was worm. Hand was God. Me was worm. Hand was God. Folks, I don't know about you and what you're stressed about and what you've got going. I don't even know why I'm bringing this tonight. I don't know. I'm just doing what God's. I have been here lately. I've been doing some things. I think, Lord, are you sure? You ever get there? Lord, are you sure? Lord, this ain't making a bit of sense to me. It's Christmas time. He said, me was worm. Hand was God. Can I say to every one of you in here, including your pastor, We are a worm. Bible says, where the worm dieth not. I don't want nobody under the sound of my voice when I ever preach, ever talk, ever whisper, or ever pray to go to hell. I don't care who hears me. In my prayer, in my walk, in my talk, no matter what I do, I don't want nobody to go to hell because of the condition that they're in. I want them to know that there's an outcome. If they'll get with Christ, there's an outcome. And it's great how He can take this big hand and you're nothing but a worm. And He can reach down and grab you and pull you out. He said, preacher, can He do that for me? I promise you. I promise. There ain't a lot of things I can guarantee. But there's one thing I can guarantee. If you come to God humble, willing, sincere, sincerely come to Him and say, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Please save me. He will in no wise cast you out. That's what the Bible says. He will in no wise cast you out. What will He do, preacher? He'll take that big hand and He'll pour you out of that fire. Because see, listen, right now, for the person sitting in here that might be lost or might be backslidden, it feels like a fire. It feels like your world's crashing down. It feels like everything, you're just beating your head against something. And the only thing gets you out of that is the hand of God. You want to talk about not being stressed and being satisfied? If you're saved in here, raise your hand. Praise God. You got something to be thankful for. There's a day you was down there burning, and He took that big hand, and He reached down, and He poured you out. Usually we gather around this thing on Sunday night, but tonight we're going to do something just a little bit different, Brother Garrett, Sister Denise. We're going to have a time of invitation. Brother Garrett, come on up. Sister Denise, Brother, well, let me see. He was in here a while ago. Just come on up, and we're going to have a time of invitation. Listen to me tonight. If you're stressed even a little bit, I mean just a tinch, get in this altar. Because if you've got a tinch of stress in your life, it's going to amplify tomorrow. It's going to amplify Tuesday. It's going to amplify Wednesday. It's going to, folk. As your pastor, I beseech thee, I beg you to get in this altar. Pray for our church. Pray for our leadership. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your family. Man, we're in a season at this church. We need prayer one for another that God would touch, God would heal, God would renew, God would strengthen us. Man, we've seen God answer prayers and He's not done answering. But we have got to do this. Finally, my brother, think on these things. Whatsoever's true, whatsoever's honest, whatsoever there's virtue, and whatsoever's a good report. I ask you tonight, what about it? As we stand, Father, I love you. I praise you. Father, all the distractions are out of the building tonight, Father. Lord, we're just in here wanting to see your face. We're just in here searching for your hand to lead this congregation, to lead us tonight, Father. Lord, you knew exactly who would be back tonight. Father, I'm just glad you let me come back. Lord, I praise you for that. And I want to be satisfied in you. And I want every member of this church to be satisfied in you. Lord, you bless this time of invitation tonight. Lord, let us be a light this week. Father, we're going into homes that we call our families. And not everybody around that table saved. Not everybody around that table could be in the will of God. But we could be that only light that they would ever see. Lord, I pray nobody look around tonight. Nobody worry about their neighbor. Nobody worry about their spouse. But tonight we have a personal search of our own heart. You bless, you touch, and you have your way. It in Jesus' most holy, precious name. Amen. Amen.